pop those bottles, Brewers fans. Enjoy that little mimosa on Daily Tap this morning. How's everybody doing? It is Thursday, September 27th, the last Daily Tap of the week before we come back for the Packer reaction on Monday. Happy to talk to you about the Brewers and their postseason berth. It is live. It is real. Defend MKE. The MLB's rallying cry for the Brewers is awesome. We'll talk about that along with a lot of other things regarding the celebration and the win itself, the game last night. Then we'll look at the Packers defense versus the Bills offense. Then we will look at why Mike Zimmer's right. I don't usually get along with Mike Zimmer. He's the Vikings coach, but Mike Zimmer has a point. We'll explain that later in the pod. All right. So this is, like I said, last Daily Tap of the week. As you know, the weekend starts with the weekend watch list tomorrow. It is a loaded weekend of sports. You have the Ryder Cup, which will already be rolling by the time the weekend watch list is taped. I probably tape it tonight. So the Ryder Cup technically will not be started, but you'll have that. You'll have a bunch of baseball to watch. You will have football. Even though the Badgers are on a bye, this is an awesome weekend. Should be an amazing weekend of sports. Hope you guys are all ready for it. It is going to be the best. It's sending me off on a high note before I go off to London. And we'll talk about programming next week. You guys will kind of know what you're going to get. I know now kind of what my plan is from London. So there may be some podcasts from London. I am not going to rule it out. There, it is possible. I feel like I should try to get my dad on the show. Like, I feel like we should do my dad and I should do a baseball podcast together. See what he says. I don't know if he'll do it, but I mean, it would be kind of awesome, right, guys? Like, let me know. If you want John on the pod, that's my dad. Just hit me up and we'll get it popping. So let's waste no more time. And speaking of popping, the Brewers did a lot of that last night. I am sure they are still sleeping in their beds, still drunk from last night. What a goddamn victory. The Brewers sweep the St. Louis Cardinals and they are now in the postseason. They have clinched a berth. They are currently in the wild card lead. They will be playing either the Rockies or the Dodgers. Right now it is the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers have fallen to the wild card spot as the Rockies have got red hot. The Brewers and Rockies are right now the hottest teams in the National League. The Rockies were benefited by a mail time effort to the tens by the Philadelphia Phillies. Really should have parlayed the money line and the run line for the Rockies yesterday. That was an error on my betting behalf, but that is okay. But the Brewers, I mean, what can you say, right? What a team. What a week thus far. I mean, talk about a push to the finish. You know, in 2008, the Brewers sort of limped their way in, got hot at the very end of the season against the Chicago Cubs, basically needed CC Sabathia to will their way in. In 2011, they were hot in August. Then in September, they sort of let St. Louis back into the fold. Remember, St. Louis beat them a few times in that month and let them back in, and that proved to be costly for the Brewers as the Cardinals went on to beat them and then go to the World Series. But they clinched, I think, a day before this against the Miami, at that time, the Florida Marlins. But they clinched. This felt better. I think just how, and Brian Anderson and Bill Schroeder have talked about it, about how just this month has been unbelievable. There's been so many moments this month. I mean, if you listened to Tapping the Keg last night, Mitch and I talked about how many different, like, great games there's been for the Brewers. I mean, I really think that I need to go back and do a blog on Monday of the top 10 best games of the year for the Brewers. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be moments that get left off that list. Like, I was reading the Players Tribune, Christian Yelich, blog, I guess, article. It first of all, it's an amazing read. I implore you to read that. And also him talking about Jesus Aguilar breaking up a no-hitter with a home run and then winning the game with another home run in the ninth. We didn't even talk about that. on the podcast yesterday. That was an amazing game. I remember where I was. I was sitting in Morgan, my girlfriend's parents' basement, watching that game going absolutely absurd. I mean, this team just, it's so special. And maybe it's the moments, maybe it's just the personalities, the players, the fact these guys love each other. It is just a special team and one of my favorites in all of sports that I've watched. And I feel so blessed. I feel so thankful that I get to watch this team. And hopefully they aren't done. Hopefully they are here for me when I get back from London. Yes, I will be going to London during the NLDS if the Brewers do advance that far. And I have to hope that they're going to be back for me, waiting for me in the NLCS. It is a scary thought. I'm going to be watching all the way. I have a blog already thought about that I'm going to be writing for Tuesday, and just hope that they're going to be there. Hope that they're going to be there for me and that they're going to be waiting at Miller Park when I get back into the States. But yeah, the game itself, I mean, nail biter. You had Josh Hader do his thing. Then he walks Matt Carpenter and JJ comes in and you think, okay, just the command might not be there. First pitch swinging is Jose Martinez and a ball goes in the right field. Mike Moustakas, who low key defense has been a little bit of an issue for him this month. It goes into the center right field. It looks like the Cardinals are going to tie the game. Looks like completely a demoralizing moment for the Milwaukee Brewers. And the runner slips. Garcia slips. I cannot believe the base running blunders by the St. Louis Cardinals this week. St. Louis Cardinals did so many dumb things this week that they really succumbed to the pressure. The St. Louis Cardinal teams of old did not do that. And maybe they don't have enough veteran leadership. Maybe that they're just too young. That Yadier Molina and Matt Carpenter can only go so far with this team. And that the errors are happening because this team just has not been there before. And that there needs to be more veteran leadership on this team. Cardinals aren't dead. The Cardinals could still get into the postseason. But it's going to take a weekend at Wrigley Field with the Cubs fighting the Brewers tooth and nail for the NL Central. I mean, it is an amazing weekend of baseball. We'll talk about it a lot on the watch list. I thought it was incredible that Christian Yelich walked 5 times in the game. The Cardinals wanted no smoke. Just like Javi Baez doesn't want smoke with the Brewers and said, I don't want to play these guys in October. The Cardinals also did not want any smoke. Absolutely amazing that they walked him 5 times. And they made him pay twice. I mean, Travis Shaw drove in Yelich twice, and those were the difference in Wednesday's game. So great win for the Brewers. Hopefully they can keep it rolling and win their 5th straight when they play the Detroit Tigers on Friday. Now, do not take, even though the Tigers have nothing to play for, they wouldn't mind being the spoilers this weekend and making sure the Brewers are in the wild card. Do not take anything lightly. Keep the foot on the fucking pedal. Like I said, watch this. We'll talk a lot about Brewers Tigers this weekend. The celebration was awesome. I mean, any celebration, baseball celebrations are the best, to be honest. Like, football celebrations are fine, but like, baseball does it the best with the champagne, the beers, and the fact people talk about, well, should they do it with champagne? And now you get all SJW on us. But like, no, you have to do it with champagne. I wish I had a bottle with me. I should have went over to Whole Foods. And that's just the closest grocery store I live. I'm not some bougie asshole. But I should have gone over to Whole Foods, got myself a bottle, and just enjoyed it myself. But I may have to purchase one for the weekend just to have it in place if for whatever reason the Brewers do win the division. You know, it was great. And Craig Counsell's speech about we're not done. Ryan Braun assuming the role of dad on the team. I didn't realize that Ryan Braun had reached dad status, but hell, do I feel old now. The Instagram lives, I mean, I don't know how much you guys caught. You can go back and look at those. Freddy Peralta had his Instagram live. Freddy Peralta also took a selfie with, I think, everybody on the fucking team. I'm not hating on Freddy. I'm just like, It's an interesting way to use social media. But literally, he has selfies with, like, everybody. Like, he just wanted to live this moment. I shouldn't shit on, like, a 21-year-old. I mean, if I was 21 and I'm in the postseason, I'd be going nuts, too. But, yeah, he had an Instagram Live. So did Jeremy Jeffries. They both had great ones. It was fantastic to watch. And really, like I said, these guys love each other. The Lokane moment with Council asking where's Suter and to break us down, and it says I say Low, you say Kane, and everybody just losing their shit was awesome. Euchre coming in late and just fist pumping with Aguilar, Chassin, and Arcia pouring beers on him. Arcia was the supreme beer pourer of the group. Definitely love to see that from Orlando. And then all of the Miller products in Budweiser, Bushtown. Had to piss off some executives today at Anheuser. Like, how did we let all this Miller products, all this Miller branding get into our stadium? You have to also think the executives at Miller are doing a few Euchre fist bumps this morning. Lovely to see. I'm glad the Brewers have a day off today because God knows they'd be hungover. They will wait and see what happens with Cubs Pirates tonight. You have Trevor Williams versus John Lester. If the Pirates were to win, the Brewers then would be in a virtual tie with the Chicago Cubs for the division. And if they were to stay tied, we'd have a one-game playoff to decide the division on Monday, which would be awesome. It would be terrifying, but it would be awesome. Keep going, Brewers. Everybody's behind you. The casual fan base is going to be filled up, I mean, and welcome them all in. I used to kind of hate on that. Used to kind of be a trope that I ran out. I'm not like that anymore. You know what? If people have become Brewer fans because of this, it's great. It's just like how what we said with the Bucks last year. If people become Bucks fans because of Giannis and because of the run they're on, awesome. And this is only the beginning. It's the Brewers to start. And the Bucks are going to take the baton from there and hopefully have an amazing season. They have a green and white scrimmage over the weekend, too, if you're interested in doing all sorts of Milwaukee things. Then also there is a team up north, the Green Bay Packers, who it's rare to see the Packers take a back seat, but the Packers have sort of taken a back seat, right? I mean, this Brewers team, I think, means more right now than the city of Milwaukee. People may say that's crazy, and I'm sure there are Packer fans who disagree with me. But I care more about the Brewers. I think a lot of people care more about the Brewers right now. Doing our usual sort of daily tap offense, defense, future. Packers defense versus the Bills offense. I kind of noted in daily taps and in other podcasts and blogs, I'm not like ready to give up on this defense. I'm not ready to say that same shit, different year, same shit, different coordinator. Like, I think the Packers are fine. I just think they're young. I think Breshad Breeland is a great addition for this team. I think that's really going to help them. They really have to be better in their red zone defense. They struggled at it last year, and it's continued to be an issue for them. They are one of the worst in football so far in the red zone. They have to be better. They have to build a bend-don't-break mentality, and I don't know who that starts with. I don't know if that starts with the safeties and guys like Bryce and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, if that starts with the pressure up front, whomever, they need to be better in the red zone. And the Bills will get back LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy is a hell of a running back. He has obviously some legal issues and might be a piece of shit or could be a piece of shit. That said, McCoy is a hell of a runner, and he's a guy that could give the Packers defense fits. The Packers haven't been as good against the run as they were last year. Jordan Howard has sprung some things. Adrian Peterson obviously rushed for over 100 yards last week. I would not sleep on McCoy having a big game for the Bills. I could definitely see that happening. The Packers will have to contain him. He could also be a factor in the flats where the Packers have struggled this year and definitely is going to be Josh Allen's safety valve. Valve. Speaking of Josh Allen, they need to get pressure on him. He's a big dude. He's a lot to go down. But if they get some pressure, they get some hands in his face, they can do some things to really frustrate Allen and hopefully lead to some turnovers. This guy is obviously ripe for the picking for turnovers. Hasn't done it much yet as the starter, but this is definitely a good moment for the Packers to sort of the defense to stand up. And also, too, Allen can scoot a little bit. So you got to keep him under control. You have to keep him contained. I do not think they did that enough against Alex Smith. Alex Smith was able to get a couple downs. And, yeah, I just think the really important thing is you set the tone early. You do not let them get off and rolling like they did in Minnesota, like the Packers let Washington do. You put the clamps down early and set the tone. The defense definitely needs to do that early on in this football game. All right, last thing on the podcast. I did want to mention something Mike Zimmer said. He kind of said, like, that it's, you know, bullshit. He actually said it PC, but he said it's bullshit or a shit show. I don't know. He said something like that. He used poop instead, which is always funny when people use poop to describe bullshit, but whatever. He basically bummed out that the Vikings have to go to Los Angeles for a Thursday night game. Now, usually I would troll the Vikings and laugh at their faces and say, ha, suck it. But it really kind of sucks. Like, this should be like, this is the best game of the weekend, and we're getting it on Thursday night. I mean, no Brewer game, so I'm not worried about being able to watch it. But, like, this game should be played on Sunday night. This should be the marquee matchup on Sunday afternoon on Fox. Like, I get the ratings might be better, but oh my God, this should be the night game. And if Fox wants to do these marquee games, I have no problem with the marquee Thursday night games. But how the NFL should really work this is they should have this be, the marquee should start after week four. It should be week five. Should have another run-of-the-mill Thursday night game, whatever it may be. But they should start after week five, and these teams should get a bye prior to this Thursday night game. So you get the bye, and then you play Thursday night. And that's how it should be structured. And I get that schedules might not allow for this sort of thing to happen. But if they scheduled the Thursday night games first, and they said, Fox, what Thursday games do you want? I think that's kind of how it's going. I don't know if they are number one, but Fox is definitely saying, like, yeah, these are the games we want. And I can't imagine NBC wouldn't want Vikings and Rams. I mean, granted, Steelers and Ravens, great game. I mean, they're going to do good ratings for that. But I'd imagine that they would have wanted this game. Or you know, and so I know ESPN gets the last games, and ESPN actually has got the benefit of the draw recently. But, like, they really should try to make these teams get as amount of days off as possible so they aren't playing on a short week. Like, I know the quality of Thursday night games hasn't been that bad this year in the short weeks. Like, Ravens-Bengals was a fine football game. Bengals kind of came out and ran roughshod on them, but it was a good game. Like, it was an exciting game. And then you had the Jets-Browns, and you had the Baker Mayfield sort of comeback, and that was a good game in its own right. So these games have been fine, and Buck and Aikman are great, and it's good that we have those two guys calling these games. But still, you just wish that there was a little more thought into the players. And if you're asking for a pick, since we're talking about the game, I think the Rams win this game, but I think it's close. I know the public is kind of on the Rams and kind of thinking that this Rams team's a juggernaut, and I think they're very good. But I worry about that secondary with kind of being depleted facing guys like Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. I think both have a big game, and I think this game's around 24-21 with the Rams coming out victorious. Would not surprise me in the least if the Vikings won this football game, and they have a really tough schedule. So this is it's a low-key must-win because of the tie, because you have to go to Philly next week, and obviously all the demons that exist there. Philly doesn't look exactly right just yet, so maybe Philly's a little more easier than LA, especially on an extended week. But that's going to be tough. So we'll see. We'll be back for the watch list tomorrow. Excited to talk to you guys about all the things this weekend. Part of Murph's Fantasy on Saturday. Get all your fantasy needs on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we will be back with the NFL Wake and Take. All right, guys. Take care of yourselves. Have a great Thursday. Enjoy the fact your Brewers are in the postseason.